Is violence ever truly needed? During the Algerian War in the mid-1950s and early 1960s, many believed violence was not just acceptable but necessary to end colonial rule. The argument for this rests on two key ideas. Colonial regimes depend on violence. Colonial governments are built on oppression, using force to maintain control. Tactics like war, brutal crackdowns, and systematic police abuse are common tools to suppress colonized people. Because the oppressors rely on violence, the colonized may feel they have no choice but to respond in kind, to fight back in the only way the colonizers understand, through force. Cultural destruction demands urgent action. Colonialism doesn't just take land and freedom, it also attacks identity. Colonizers often try to erase indigenous cultures, replacing them with their own. This leaves colonized people disconnected from their roots. Intellectuals may debate and negotiate solutions, but many see talk as too slow and ineffective. For people who fear losing their culture and freedom completely, action, even violent action, feels like the only solution. These reasons explain why some view violence as unavoidable in the fight against colonial oppression. Colonial violence and the fight for freedom. The colonial rule relies on institutional violence, combining political control with economic exploitation to treat colonized people and their resources as tools for profit. This system enables practices like slavery and forced labor, reinforcing ideas of racial superiority and inequality. For Algerian freedom fighters, violence became more than self-defense, it was a way to reclaim their dignity and humanity. Faced with the choice to either endure oppression or resist, they chose to fight back and regain control over their lives. Through guerrilla attacks against French colonial forces, the colonized regained their unity and control, reshaping their future. This demonstrates how revolutionary violence becomes a necessary response to the brutality of colonial systems. For the colonized, the fight isn't about gaining equality within the colonizer's system but about overthrowing it to reclaim their land, survival, and identity. Violence isn't seen as a choice but as a demand, a direct reaction to a system built on oppression and a call to action for those determined to take control of their destiny. The strength and vulnerability of sudden violence. Spontaneous uprisings, driven by raw emotion and fueled by real-life experiences of injustice, often erupt without warning, making them powerful but short-lived. Unlike planned movements, their organic nature makes them unpredictable and hard to suppress, inspiring others to join the fight against a shared oppressor. This intensity impacts them significantly, but revolutions need more than emotion to succeed. Spontaneous violence alone cannot bring lasting change without clear goals and organization. When emotions like anger take over, it can stop clear thinking and mess up plans for change. Instead of focusing on building lasting solutions for communities, anger leads to actions that don't achieve much. Without a clear plan, violent actions lose focus quickly. This confusion also allows those in power to create divisions among revolutionary groups. People who start violence often don't have strong support or leadership. Their strong emotions can make others think they want power for themselves, not freedom for everyone. The role of spontaneous violence in revolution. Colonizers use propaganda to fuel distrust, and without clear leadership, the colonized people can be divided, making violence easier to spread. For a revolution to succeed, this violence must be channeled into a focused movement guided by a shared vision of justice. Spontaneous violence can serve as an initial spark, but it needs to be supported by an organized, disciplined political group to drive lasting change. Without proper leadership, this violence will only offer short-term relief and won't dismantle the system of oppression. True change happens when spontaneous anger is paired with strategic, collective action, uniting the people with a clear goal and organized efforts. From colonial rule to modern forms of control and influence. As colonial rule ends, people start to feel more proud of their nation, but gaining independence doesn't always mean they are truly free. The real challenge is changing power and identity without falling into a new kind of control called neocolonialism. Revolutions give a chance to rebuild society, but this means mixing people's culture and history into new governments. The problem is that national identity is often built around fighting colonizers, not around shared values, and colonizers made divisions between different groups of people. These divisions can make it hard for different groups, like intellectuals, city dwellers, and farmers, to work together after the colonizers are gone. To move forward, it's important to come together and work toward a better future. A national identity focused only on reversing colonial rule can end up being unfair to minority groups or people with different views. Leaders who gain popularity through anti-colonial ideas may start focusing more on gaining personal power than on truly freeing everyone. The biggest issue, however, is neocolonialism. Even after military forces leave, rich countries still take advantage of weaker nations through financial tools, creating a new kind of empire. New countries, struggling with debt, accept loans that trap them in financial problems. On top of that, big international companies buy up mines, farms, and factories from the old colonizers, gaining more control over the economy. The hidden cost of foreign-controlled economies. Even though developing countries may gain political independence, their economies often remain controlled by foreign companies that drain government funds by sending profits abroad. This economic dominance, which is untethered from political power, keeps the nation under foreign influence. National pride and cultural freedom are important, but without significant economic reform, the financial system continues to benefit foreign powers, leaving local economies vulnerable. Revolutionary movements must realize that political victories alone are not enough. True freedom requires economic sovereignty. Neocolonialism exploits nations through financial control rather than military force, and without self-reliance, national pride is diminished, making economic independence essential for lasting freedom. Reclaim and rebuild cultural identity. As colonial rule fades, rebuilding national culture becomes crucial for healing and empowering liberation movements. However, there can be disagreements about what it means to restore native culture after years of colonization. The challenge is creating a national identity after generations of physical and mental harm caused by colonialism. Simply copying the colonizers' culture could perpetuate colonial structures. Moreover, reducing the impact of colonial culture isn't enough. Culture includes beliefs, art, traditions, and daily actions. To truly break free, society must reclaim its identity and adapt parts of its old culture, viewing cultural restoration as an ongoing process that evolves with both internal and external influences. Efforts to completely remove colonial influences can sometimes lead to extreme reactions. But encouraging cultural growth and change can bring diversity and progress, as long as we stick to core values. Instead of always focusing on past problems, we should focus on shaping the future, which helps energize culture. No culture can thrive by only looking back, it needs active participation in the present. A strong cultural identity is built by people involved today, making it strong enough to face future outside influences. Rebuilding culture should aim to create an independent path that meets everyone's needs. A culture that doesn't improve people's lives becomes outdated and useless. Connect culture to change. Bringing cultural traditions, family practices, and local histories into new economic and political systems helps prevent extreme nationalism by tying heritage to real actions. Over time, cultural identity can shape development in meaningful ways. But this takes time, it involves learning, trying new things, and having debates. As old harmful ideas fade and young people are taught their true culture instead of colonial beliefs, national culture starts to change naturally. This slow process is where real, lasting change happens. The hidden scars of colonial oppression. Colonial powers often use not just physical violence, but also mental violence, which left deep, lasting scars on entire communities. This psychological harm was caused by methods like torture to break resistance, denying medical treatment to the wounded, and instilling fear through public executions, disappearances, and mutilations. Rape, as a tool of control, weaken families and undermine both women and men. Additionally, the forced imposition of foreign customs and beliefs destroyed cultural ties, while the erasure of native history and education severed younger generations from their heritage, causing a lasting loss of identity. Daily mistreatment like verbal abuse and being excluded financially causes ongoing mental harm, making victims start to think like their oppressors. Over time, this leads to self-hate, anger at others, feelings of hopelessness, and even thoughts of suicide. It also causes a breakdown in community, self-worth, and purpose, often showing up as addiction, crime, and broken families. The most dangerous effect is that people begin to accept the unfair system and feel it's normal. They start seeing their own culture as weak and the colonizers' values as the right ones. This mental control makes the oppressed support their mistreatment. To heal, we need to understand that the harm goes beyond just physical suffering. Acts of violence can be a way for people to fight back against feelings of inferiority and take back their identity. True freedom means addressing both the obvious and hidden wounds, through cultural recovery, fair economics, and political representation. The importance of mental liberation and revolutions. A revolution that relies only on military victories is incomplete without a shift in people's mindset. For lasting freedom, political change must go hand in hand with mental liberation, allowing individuals to reconnect with their humanity. Under colonial rule, oppressors use psychological tactics to make the oppressed feel that their resistance is wrong or unnatural. However, real change starts with recognizing injustice. Those who seem passive may be the most affected. To achieve true freedom, people must heal from the psychological harm of oppression by restoring their cultural identity and shared purpose. This dual approach ensures a revolution's lasting impact. Key points. 1. Violence may be seen as necessary when colonial systems rely on force to maintain control. 2. Colonialism not only oppresses but destroys cultural identity, prompting urgent action to fight back. 3. Revolutionary violence can reclaim dignity but must be organized to achieve lasting change. 4. Spontaneous violence, while powerful, needs clear goals and leadership to prevent division and failure. 5. True freedom requires both political and economic independence, not just the removal of foreign control. 6. Rebuilding cultural identity after colonialism is a gradual process that requires active participation. 7. Psychological harm from oppression must be addressed alongside physical freedom for lasting liberation.